Well, thank you very much for coming back. I know this has been a long day after business meeting, but I promise to you to be brief, to be short in my preaching. So the deal is if after 3 hours you can stand up and go home. Yeah, this is the deal. We use questions in our conversation almost every day. We use questions when we require instructions or directions or instructions. We use all kind of questions. We use open questions, yes or no questions, direct or indirect questions. We use choice questions, hypothetical questions, W questions, trick questions, rhetorical questions. You know, all these kind of questions that we use in our normal day-to-day. Normally, we start a conversation with a greeting and then a question. We said, hello, how are you? It's a question. Sometimes we don't like questions, especially when you are taking an exam, and the exam is full of questions. But the exam is when you can prove how much knowledge you have in determined topic because you know the answers. So exams or tests or quizzes can prove how much ability or knowledge you have in a specific topic. I remember my last exam back to university, and after 9 months, nine semesters of study, I was taking my last exam. We call that the professional exam. So where you sit there and they can ask to you any topic. You suppose that you know everything about the thing that you are studying. And I remember this exam is very important because this determines if you graduate or no from university. And I was sitting there taking my last exam, and I was really anxious. I was prepared for the exam, but you never know if you are your preparation is sufficient for the exam until you take the exam and you check all the questions. I remember the last exam, I was sitting there, and I opened the envelope, I took the exam, and it was a big surprise for me to see all the exam, because it was a single page. And out of the page, there was just one question. This was the whole exam, just one question. This was like a case of study, when they provide to you like a hypothetical situation, and you need to analyze, and you need to apply all your knowledge and answer the question. But I remember to be sitting there and say, well, this is not fair, because all my 9 semesters of university depends of this one question in the last exam. And I need to answer yes or no. This was the answer, yes or no. And I have 50% chance to pass, 50% chance to fail. But this depends if I graduate or no from university. And finally, I passed the exam. I start to think yes or no, yes or no, yes or no, and I passed the exam. But this is amazing how one single question can determine the future of what you are doing. A couple of years ago, on one of those days, I said very spontaneous to my wife, I love you, honey. And I expected to receive back the normal reply, me too. But that day was different. She replied to me with a question. And she said, why? Why do you love me? And I said, well, what kind of question is that? You know, I just tell you what is my feeling. I love you. And she said, yes, I know, but just give me one reason that you love me. And I start panicking because, you know, this is a situation when you have a lot of thoughts in your mind and say, "What? I know the answer, but what should be the right answer? What I need to say to her?" And I start to thinking, well, if I said, "I love you because you are my wife," this sounds very technical. Probably it's not the best answer. Or, "I love you because you do this and that for me," this sounds very selfish. And I said, "Well, I love you because you are beautiful," sounds very superficial. "I love you because this is what the Lord commands," sounds very theological. So what should be the right answer in that moment for me to her? And I remember and I said, well, finally, something came out in my mind and said, well, the Lord had been put a special love for you, and this is the reason that I love you. And she was happy with the answer, and I think I had my dinner the other day, and everybody was happy. But did you see that one single question made you think, and one single answer determines your future, determines everything sometimes. Open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I choose just 5 verses from this chapter. Verses 13 to 17. And Matthew 16, 13 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some said that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood that not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are asking to you today for your grace and your mercy. We pray that you open our eyes to see you and open our ears to listen what you have for us. Help me to preach Christ, not for strife or not for vanaglory. Help me to preach Christ in truth and in love. We pray that you teach us tonight and that we can be blessed from your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Very simple and direct question from the Lord in this passage. The Lord asked a very direct question, but was very important, that question. So tonight, my intention is to analyze these 5 verses from this chapter and have something for us and apply this truth in our own life. Let me tell you as an introduction that after 2.5 years of ministry, Jesus was with his disciples in that day, in that moment. And was the graduation time, was the time of the final exam for their disciples. And the exam was just one single question. One single question, very direct, very personal question. And the answer of that question determines and reveals not just the knowledge of the disciples, not just the knowledge that they have in their head, but what they believe in their heart. So as an introduction, let me tell you what happened in this situation. The Bible says that this happened in Caesarea Philippi. This is a small town, is in the north of Galilee Sea, 40 kilometers north. And Caesarea Philippi is a different city. We must not confuse this city with Philippi that is in Macedonia. You remember that Paul write to the city, to the church in Philippi. This is another city. Or there are another Caesarea that is in the south part of Israel, very close to the Mediterranean. It's a different city. This Caesarea Philippi is in the border between Lebanon and Syria, very close to this place. So the Lord Jesus was there with his disciples. And if you look, we read just Matthew, but if you read Luke, the parallel passage, Luke gives us the idea that the Lord Jesus and their disciples, they're coming back from a prayer meeting, and they was walking along with all the disciples until this place, Caesarea Philippi. So who were there with the Lord Jesus on that day? There was their disciples. Their disciples were with the Lord Jesus. Now, at this point in time, many people followed Jesus. Many, many, many people in Israel, after 2.5 years of ministry, many people followed Jesus for many different reasons. Some people follow him for his miracles. Some people follow him for his for knowledge, to have knowledge, for curiosity, for food, or for healing. All these people follow Jesus from one village to another for different reasons. And they come and go. They have what they are looking for and coming back. But the Lord Jesus called a small group of people, 12 people, 12 persons, a small group, to follow him. And his disciples, they left everything to follow Jesus. So there are a difference between a follower and a disciple. A follower, there are no commitment. They just follow the Lord Jesus. But a disciple is different. A disciple is, if I can tell you at least three differences that there are between a follower and a disciple. The first is, a disciple is a worshiper. They worship the Lord. A disciple is a servant. They serve the Lord. And a disciple is a witness. They are witnesses what they are seeing and what they are learning about the master and try to apply and tell others. So it's a lot of commitment. The follower doesn't have any commitment. They go and take what they want and go back. But a disciple have a commitment because he's a worshiper, he's a servant, and he's a witness. So the Lord Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. The other question is why? Why the Lord Jesus make this question when he knows everything? I think the Lord Jesus is not asking to have an answer. I think the answer of that question is more for their disciples, for them. Because this answer reveals what they have in their mind, the opinion in their mind, but also reveals what they believe in their heart. So was a very confronting question what the Lord Jesus made. And the other thing is, this question probably is the most important question for every person. Every religion have at least a statement. Who is Jesus? Every religion have a statement. Every person have an answer. But your answer determines your future, your eternal destiny, your answer determines what is your future. So if we look verse 13 in our text, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It's a very, very indirect question. The disciples need to answer what they had been hearing about Jesus. It was an indirect question. The question is, how the people said that is the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And I think this is a very general question. The Lord Jesus is not asking for some group in particular. He said, who people said that I am? Who people said in general? And then the Lord go from general to a very particular question. For a very indirect question, because he is asking for people, a very direct question when he asks you tell me what you think. And even that is a very simple question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's very simple. But this question have a lot of very heavy theological doctrine when the Lord Jesus used the term the Son of Man. Who people said that is the Son of Man? The common understanding is that the Son of God implies his deity, and the Son of Man implies his humanity. However, his humanity, the way that he lives in here among us, proves that he is the Son of God. The way that he born, the way that he lived, the way that he died, the way that he resurrected, prove that he is the Son of God. So he was the Son of Man, and he is the Son of God. He is the eternal one. He came from the Father, and God the Father himself, manifested in human body in the person of Jesus. We said Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. The divine nature was full in him. We sing God in three person, blessed Trinity. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. But Jesus, as the Son of Man, he was 100% human. 100% human. He had flesh, blood, bones, and body. He had a will, emotion, a mind. He was a person. He was a completely human being. And it's very important to note this because many people think that the Lord Jesus was an angel, was an angelical being, and was not really human. But this is not true. He came in flesh. His body was sacrificed in Calvary to redeem humanity. So he must be human being. He paid the penalty in the cross, and he suffered the pain and the cruelty of the cross. He was a human being, a second man, the last Adam. He was the perfect man without sin. 100% man and 100% God. This is the Son of Man. So many people think that, you know, the Lord Jesus was an angel. They think that, I think that Jehovah Witnesses, they think that this is Gabriel, the angel, when he was in the cross. The Lord Jesus was 100% human because was God manifested in the person of Jesus, and he was 100% human and still 100% God. So what the question was, what the people says, what do people think about the Son of Man? And at the answer, verse 14, if you look like the verse number 14, and they said, some says that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Let's stop there. So the three, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, they have something in common. The three that are prophets, or there were prophets, two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Another thing that is in common is the three, by this point, that are dead. And the three have a significant influence amongst the Jewish people. The three, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, have a very high respect among all the Jewish people. So when Jesus asks, who the people said that is the Son of Man? Many people said or think he is a resurrected prophet. You know, Herod think in Luke 9:7 that he was the resurrected John the Baptist. And what is important is because he beheaded John the Baptist. So many people think that, you know, the power that Jesus has is because he is a resurrected prophet. And let me tell you, it's not a bad guess. It's not a bad guess, but it's a very bad answer. Very bad answer, because the people make the Lord Jesus like any other prophet. They say, well, if he is a resurrected prophet, the Lord Jesus is like any other prophet. And this is completely wrong. I think today the scandalous of Christianity is not that Jesus can save. The scandalous of Christianity today is the Lord Jesus is the Savior. He said by himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other like the Lord Jesus. He is very unique. There is no other in comparison with him. So when people said the Lord Jesus is like any other prophet, it's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. And it's very sad to see religion people, that they have a very good guess who was the Lord Jesus. But they are very far from the truth. You see, probably the Jewish people, the Jewish religion, they have the true Bible, but they reject the Savior. So they are very close, but very far from salvation. And it's very sad how religion people think that they are very close to think or have an opinion who is Jesus, but they are very far from the truth. And let me tell you, because if you think that if you attend church make you Christian, it's completely wrong. If you attend the church, doesn't make you Christian. People say, well, I go to church, but I hate to go to church. I go because I think this is the right thing to do. But there are no love for Christ. There are no commitment for Christ. It's just they came to church because they follow Jesus. But there are no discipleship. There are no worship. There are no service. There is no witnesses for the Lord Jesus. It's just follow the Lord Jesus. And if you ask the majority of people, who is Jesus? They can tell you an opinion of what they think is Jesus. And we still celebrate Christmas or Easter. And people have an opinion. You know, every Christmas there are a celebration of how the Lord Jesus born, or Easter, how he died. And people have an opinion, but sometimes it's very intellectual opinion. It's not a relationship with the Savior. So every religion, if you ask, they have an idea who was Jesus. The Muslim people, Jewish people, Hinduism, Buddhism, they think, well, the Lord Jesus was a messenger. The Lord Jesus was a prophet. The Lord Jesus was a teacher. The Lord Jesus was a martyr. The Lord Jesus was an angel. And some of these guesses are completely wrong, and some that are very insufficient answers. The Lord Jesus revealed by himself through the Bible. The Lord Jesus said from himself, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the vineyard. The Lord Jesus revealed himself and tell who he was really. He was. So we can have an idea of who was Jesus, but the question is, people can be very, very wrong with the idea of who was Jesus. The second question in our text is getting more deeper and more personal. Verse 15 says, he said unto them, but who said ye that I am? Who said you that I am? And I love that this idea of God that is very personal, very real, very close. Because the most important thing of God the Creator is the relationship that he wants to have with his creation. And the crown of his creation is man, you and me. He wants to have a relationship with you. Because this is what the purpose of creation. So the question was, who said ye that I am? It's a very direct, very personal, and very confronting question. Who is Jesus? He changed a little bit the question. Did you see that he is not asking who the people said? No, he is asking who said you? What is your opinion? What do you think? It's not people, you. And then he changed. He is not asking who is the Son of Man. He is asking who I am. Who I am in the second question. And I think, you know, our thinking is very different with what we say. Because what we say in front of other people is what we believe. And what we believe affect our life, affect our acts and our life. So it's very different what you think and what you say. The Lord Jesus asks, whom said ye that I am? And I'm really not sure how long was the silence between all the disciples. I'm not sure if they look around one another and said, I know the answer, but what should be the right answer here? And it's very simple, the question, who is Jesus? And then I think behind all the group is Simon, and this is the verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, you are the Savior. You are the Messiah. This is what Simon Peter answered to him. And it's a very declaration. It's like a confession from the heart of Peter. It's not just the knowledge in his head. He had been with the Lord Jesus for 2.5 years. And now it's not just what Peter thinks, who is Jesus. It's what Peter believes in his heart, who was Jesus. And he said very loudly in front of the group, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointing one. You are the one that we are waiting for. You are the one that the prophets on the Old Testament written about you. You are not just the Son of Man. You are the Son of God. You are not just the Son of God. You are the Son of the living God." This was the confession of Peter. This is what Peter believed in his heart. And the point here is, why is so important this confession in the life of Peter? After 2.5 years, why is so important this confession? Do you remember Andrew, Simon's brother? Since day one, he said to Simon, "Simon, we have found the Messiah." I think Andrew believed that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah. So after 2.5 years, why is so important this confession, this question to the disciples and confronting them after all these years, when since day one, Andrew knew that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah? I think there are some times in our life, in our Christian life, times of doubts, times when we, the Lord Jesus called times of great faith or times of a little faith. Times or moments when we have doubts, moments of rethinking or questioning. It is worth it to be Christian? It is the Bible true? It is correct to give my money to the church? Is Jesus coming back again? And I'm not sure if this question has been in your head recently, but there's nothing wrong with have this question in your head. I think this is part of the process of growing in faith. I remember John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he believes in that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah when he started his ministry. Do you remember Matthew 11, when he was in jail? And he sent a messenger to Jesus asking, "Tell us if you are the Messiah, or we need to wait for someone else." There are a moment when we're thinking, is really true this? Is Christianity is true? And this is when we need to use all our theological doctrines, all the things that you know about the Bible, to answer all these questions. I think today we are living in a world that we are with a redefinition of things, concept, you know? And probably this can have a seed of doubts in your mind, probably questioning. We need to redefinite things in our life, and we can use the Bible. The Bible is the source of all the truth. The question is how much we know the Bible to answer all these questions. When there are moments of doubts, use the Bible. Use the Bible and to answer all these questions. After 2.5 years of discipleship with them, the confession was important. I think there are people here with 5 years to be Christian, or 10 years, or 20 years. The declaration, the confession, the commitment is very important. I want to make an application here of the verses that we already read. And I want to ask you a very personal question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life? And I think by now, because you already read, you know, you have the answer. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is the answer that I'm looking for. And probably you already know the answer. But what really means to you? There are many people that they say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. You remember God the Father says in Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Martha says, gee, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Paul declares in that he was the Son of God in Acts 9:20. The centurion that carried out the execution, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Demons, they think that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. Satan, he thinks he has the knowledge that he is the Son of God. So my point here is, who is Jesus in your life? Who is Jesus? Can you answer that question? And you can say, well, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what really means to you? What really means to you? I think it's a time of confession and declare what Jesus means to you. Verse 17 in our text says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood that not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The source of this revelation in the life of Peter came from the Father. And did you see that the Lord Jesus called Peter Simon, the son of Jonah? Because he thinks that the flesh of Peter, his person, his human effort, his human knowledge is not capable to have this kind of revelation. The revelation that Peter had at that moment came from the Father. He said, blood and flesh have been not revealed to you. And then verse 70 says, blessed art thou. And I think the biggest blessing in the life of a sinful person is to know that your sin has been forgiven. Who is Jesus? Jesus is more than a religion. Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is more than a teacher. Jesus is more than Calvary Baptist Church, this building. Jesus is more than a Sunday relationship. Jesus can be revealed to you. Jesus can be revealed to you. Open your Bibles in Job 42:5. And says, verse 5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye see thee. Job had been an idea of who was God. Job had been heard from others about God. But after many things happened in the life of Job, he said now at this point in time, in a very personal confession, he said, my eyes can see you. It's a very personal confession. It's not just what I know about Jesus. It's not just what I know about God. It's the personal relationship. And he said, now my eyes can see you. My question for you is, have you seen the Lord Jesus in your life? Or is just a mere knowledge of who is Jesus? You remember Thomas, one of the disciples? When the rest of the disciples came to Thomas and they said, well, Jesus has been resurrected. And Thomas says, I don't believe. I need to touch. But did you see when he touched the Lord Jesus, he said, you are my Lord and my God. You are my Lord and my God. My question for you is, the Lord Jesus is your Lord and your God? Or is just a mere knowledge in your head? What is your confession of who is Jesus in your life? Have you been touched Jesus in your life? Your eyes can see? Because this is a real relationship with God. Who is Jesus in your life? Probably you can say, well, as a confession, as a declaration, he is my redeemer. It's not just Jesus is the redeemer. He is the savior of the world. No, he is my redeemer, my personal redeemer. And probably we can sing of the redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sin, O sin, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. This can be your declaration. This can be your confession of who is Jesus in your life. He is my Redeemer. He purchased me.